Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way tonight. If you have opened this message from a digital archive source, please understand that we are on a live teleconference meeting. That means that people will be dialing in from all over the place, and we welcome them. We'll give them a little bit of time to get here. So we'll actually start the message in about 3 to 5 minutes. And any time, digital listeners, any time you'd like to join us live on our teleconferences, they're held each Monday and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-POUND. You can also get information about us at freedomswayministries.com. Again, welcome. And if you'd like to say hello while we're waiting for others to get here, now's a good time to do that. Hello. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, Vicki, Claudia is here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vicki and Phil, I should say.
Yep, he's here too.
Hallelujah.
Who else would like to say hello?
Hello, Vicki.
Hey, Judy.
What a beautiful day it is.
It is. Has been.
Has it been? Yep. Has been.
Yep. The sun has gone down. At least where I am.
Yeah, dark. It's dark here. Dark here.
The days were getting longer, though. The days were getting longer. It's staying a little bit longer.
I know.
Every day.
Isn't that great?
Yes, ma'am.
Good to have
longer
you.
Already. I didn't see no hogs tonight up here in Georgia. You see a bunch of hogs on the way up to my place in Georgia, and the sun was out too much. I only spotted two today. There's a place up on the side of I-95. There's a buku of them every night I see out there. They weren't much tonight, and didn't see many of them. The sun stayed up. You know, the sun's up a little brighter for them. But thank you all. I'll mute out.
Take care, Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch.
Take care.
I like that.
Oh,
I like how
he's always traveling, isn't he? What about that? Amazing.
Yes.
The blessing.
Who was that? Was that Marie? Said something. Somebody. Well, anyway, welcome. Who else, before I mute your telephone, would like to say hello? It has been an absolutely beautiful day today. Praise the Lord. Well, I am going to go ahead then. Hearing no other friendly hellos, and mute your telephones. For anybody who is new on the line, what that means is you will still be able to hear us, but if there is any background noise on your end, we will not hear you. And at the end of the message, then we will give you the option of unmuting your telephone. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Welcome. This is Freedom's Way Ministries. And my name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. And we have a great message for you tonight. We've been into the significance of numbers in the Bible. It's very specific, but you will enjoy it. Glad that you joined us. Our mission is to help you come into your true full identity in Christ and grow in Him and enjoy all the benefits of kingdom living and the benefits of following the Lord in all that you say and do. And the benefits are many. Anything we can do to help you come into your full true identity, we are glad to do it. These teachings also are very instrumental in that. So we're glad you joined us. I'm going to pray us in, and we're going to get started. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this time in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your presence in our lives and the anointing on this message. Thank you, Lord, that it will not return void to you, that it will bear fruit for your kingdom. Hallelujah. So we give you honor and praise this evening, Father God. We bow our knee to you. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And in your name, in the name of Jesus, I turn aside any interloper or any foul spirit that would attempt to divert, blunt, or just keep God's people from receiving all that they have to receive from this message tonight. And we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Bless your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, honey. As Bill said, we are in a series that's designed to help us understand the deeper things of God. And within this framework of understanding symbolic and prophetic language, understanding the metaphors and the types and shadows, we're studying God's math. And if you have just joined us, we have already shown over the past few weeks that the significance of numbers in the Word of God gives validity to God's authorship of the Bible. The mathematical precision that was designed into the Word and flows all the way throughout it gives us a deeper look into the intent of God's heart. Numbers and their pattern and significance prove God's sovereignty, and they help us more clearly understand His Word. And that's what it's all about. Once again, this study has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with numerology. Numerology is the devil's counterfeit of God's mathematical precision. Numerology is a practice that's designed to take our focus off of God and put it onto another God and into what we can figure out. In numerology, we find ourselves looking at the math, but not at the mathematician. So let's not ever forget that God's numbering system is here for us to know Him, not some other doctrine or way of doing things. Our trust and our beliefs must always center in the living God who has used math as another method of helping us grow in Him. Amen?
Amen. We begin to seek God's heart on the matter and not man's interpretation. We find God's numbers. And so far we've learned that the spiritual meaning of the number one is united or unity. It is a coming together of several or many to become an inseparable unit. It is not meant to be a single thing. Two is the number of witness. It reveals both union and division and carries the stamp of difference. In the number three, we see completeness, fullness, and resurrection. Number four, in the spiritual sense, speaks of the world or creation. Five is the number of grace, and six is the number of man. And we encourage you to go to our website to listen to whatever you may have missed or ask for the links. The insights are amazing. Hallelujah. So if you have missed any of them, be sure to check it out on the website. It is a treasure trove of information. And in this session, we're first going to go into an exploration of the number seven, which is God's number for spiritual perfection. Seven of anything in God's view is the end, the finish, the completion of the thing. And we can see that is true in everything from music to the days of the week. The eighth note in a scale is actually the first note of a higher octave. And the eighth day of the week is readily the first day of the next week. So seven is the finish, and eight is the new beginning, which we will also talk about. So, but first, let's go to the first reference of the word seven in Scripture. And that is in Genesis chapter 7, verse 2. Of every clean beast you shall take to you by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female.
Now, in the Strong's Concordance, the definition of the word seven, in that definition, we find this meaning. And I'm going to quote here, the sacred full one. Also, seven times by implication a week, by an extension, an indefinite number. Now, being an indefinite number, that means it's not seven, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven individual things. It's not seven, it's until it is finished, until it is perfected. It's indefinite. The root word means to be complete. And we found a very interesting meaning in this one, this number seven. And again, I'm quoting these from the Strong's. To seven oneself. To seven oneself, or to swear, adjure, charge by an oath or with an oath, take an oath, straightly cause or make to swear. And this is a meaning of this word that certainly would cause you to ponder.
Amen. Keeping the law of first reference, we find that the clean animals were to be brought in by twos, the male and the female, seven times. The word clean means pure, to be bright, to be pure, physically sound, unadulterated, uncontaminated, morally innocent, and holy. In this first reference, we see seven, the number meaning sacred, full, one, an oath connected to purity, innocence, and holiness. That is spiritual perfection.
Amen.
We also see that seven may not always mean only seven things, that in its meaning, it can be an indefinite number. We don't know how many seven is. Now, however many it is the finish. And we know that when we see the word seven, there's a completeness of the spirit, a perfection in the thing being named. Now, as mentioned in the introduction, seven speaks of a completion, of finishing something, especially in situations and circumstances relating to God. We've been taught all of our lives that God rested on the seventh day, and that's true. But it isn't the whole truth. Let's look at Genesis 2 and 2 and see what the word says in view of what man has taught us. And it states the following, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made.
Hallelujah. You heard that. It says God ended his work on the seventh day. He accomplished it. He completed it. He finished it on the seventh day. And on the seventh day, he rested. He accomplished, he finished the work on the seventh day, not the sixth. And then he rested. The book of Genesis is both a history book and it is a book of prophecy. The word tells us that in God's timing, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Keeping that in mind briefly, that would mean the time frame from Adam to Moses, which was about 2,000 years, would equal 2 days. The time frame from Moses to Jesus was about 2,000 years or 2 days. From Jesus to now is about 2,000 years or 2 days. We have now moved into the seventh day. 2 days from Adam to Moses, 2 days from Moses to Jesus, 2 days from Jesus to us, that's six. And now we have moved into the seventh day, and God is completing his work. We are in that little span of time where the Lord accomplishes his plan, which from the very beginning has been this, God in man having dominion in the earth. Things are happening very quickly. You can see it in your own life. You can see it in what's going on around you. Things are coming into fullness. Darkness is getting darker. Light is shining brighter all the time as this seventh day progresses. We are in the span. It's kind of like if you were in business and you were in charge of a whole bunch of different projects and you were going on your vacation in a week, you would get everything done that you could do, and on the seventh day you would go into the office, you would make sure it was all complete and finished and clean up your desk, and then you would go on vacation. That's that span of time. We are in the span. God said everything would come to fullness. When he finishes his work during this short span of time, he will rest in us. I hope you heard that. That's exciting stuff. There has never been a generation and will never be another generation that will see what we see and experience what we will experience. We may very well be the generation that has the awesome responsibility to usher in, or actually to continue and make real, this millennial reign. God has granted us that choice. What we do with it is up to us. But I can tell you my personal belief that if we choose to live in an escapist mentality that just wants Jesus to rapture us out of here, we're going to miss it. If we say, oh, Lord, just take me out of here. Come back. Fix it, Lord. I can't ever have victory till you step foot on the Mount of Olives. If we have that belief, we're not going to make it into the army of God that rules and reigns with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that the rapture theory is basically lazy Christianity where we all just sit around waiting for the Lord to come back and whisk us away, take care of everything, straighten it all out. He told us to do that. We're waiting for him to do it. We become a people who are looking for the appearance of Antichrist not the appearance of Christ, and we fail to fulfill our commission. We are in the seventh day. How will we live it? What will we do with this information? Now, I'm going to stop here because you've probably all heard of the third day. If you haven't, you're hearing it now. The third day church, and so on and so on. And I just want to clear things up for you. The seventh day and the third day are the same day. And day, again, is an indefinite span of time. It's not 24 hours. It is a completion, and God's math verifies it. Because it is the seventh day from the first Adam, but it is the third day from the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And since God does everything in threes, who would you think the third Adam is? Hallelujah.
Amen. I know what we're going to do. We're going to lay hands on the sick.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lead people to this amazing gospel. It's the man child born out of the church, the remnant, Joel's army, the first fruits company, the elect lady, the overcomers. It's the one made up of many, the true church, the body of Christ. Tag. You're it. Here's an interesting fact. The word seven is mentioned 54 times in the book of Genesis, the book in which God lays out his plan, and 54 times in the book of Revelation, the book in which God accomplishes his plan in spiritual perfection. We don't think that's a coincidence, but we do think it's another testimony to the inerrancy of God's holy word.
Amen.
Seven is completion and perfection in spiritual things. So we want to give you a few more examples. The priests were consecrated for 7 days before they could enter their priestly work. This showed a complete purging of impurity before entering God's presence. And you'll find that in Leviticus 8, verses 33 to 35, in the Word of God. And you shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you, as he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall you abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that you die not, for so I am commanded.
Praise God.
On the day of atonement, the high priest sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat 7 times, which is the picture of the perfect, finished work of the atonement of Christ. And in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 14, says, he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times.
Thank you, Lord. The Israelites were instructed to march around Jericho for 7 days. And for 7 times on the seventh day, bringing perfect victory. It was a victory wrought and won in the spirit realm. If you recall, the Israelites never had to fight. There were, and let's just go on with sevens. There were 7 feast days observed within the 3 major feasts. Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Those 3 completed the Feast of Passover. Then you had Pentecost, Next, you had trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles, which completed the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, there were seven branches on the candlestick in the holy place. There are seven candlesticks in Revelation, which describes seven types of churches. And in the book of Revelation, we see where seven is an indefinite number. There are many more than seven churches in operation today. At last count, we read where 23,000 different denominations have been identified. But still, every church body will fall into one of those seven categories of churches that are named in the book of Revelation.
Amen. It took 7 years for Solomon to build the temple. Naaman dipped in the Jordan seven times to receive his healing. Seven men of honest report were chosen to meet the administrative needs of the early church. All these things symbolize spiritual perfection. In our physical bodies, God created interesting sevens. There are seven bones in the neck, seven bones in the face, and seven bones in the ankle. The neck carries the head around. The face displays our countenance, and the ankle enables the foot to move. Is God telling us in the way of spiritual perfection to uphold the authority of Christ in our lives and not become stiff-necked? Is he saying we need to shine forth the light of love in our faces? And as the psalmist says, be satisfied when we await with his countenance. Does he mean to convey we should walk with the Lord to go where he sends us? Well, just a thought. The ark landed on the seventh month. Jacob worked 7 years to get Rachel, only to get Leah. Then he had to turn around and work another 7 years to get Rachel. The nobleman's son was healed at the seventh hour. And the list could go on and on. All sevens indicate a finish of spiritual perfection in some way. But let's have a new beginning and move on to the number eight.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we have noted quite admirably that seven is the finish, and so eight begins again. There is a newness inherent in the number eight, as seen from the first scripture naming this number. The verse is Genesis 17:12, but I want to read the one before it also. So I'm going to read Genesis 17:11-12. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of your seed. So here, in this first scripture reference to the number eight, we see a new beginning, but I believe we see something much greater as well. In all the books we read and all the study that we made about numbers, not one imparted this important truth. God connects eight with his covenant. Eight is the number of covenant as well as the number of new beginning. When a child was circumcised, he entered into covenant with God through Abraham. The circumcision was an outward sign of that covenantal relationship, and it was done on the eighth day of the child's life. It was proof that you belonged to the family, that you were in the line or in the house of Abraham. And thus, you are a partaker of the covenant God made for Abraham. The benefits were yours. And the circumcision was the evidence that you had the right to partake of those benefits. Circumcision marked you for life as a child of inheritance and blessing. It was a new beginning, a brand new life. And the circumcision was physical proof of who you are. When Joseph was sold into slavery, then he was imprisoned, then he was taken out of prison and made second in command in Egypt, he proved his birthright by the circumcision.
Wow. Genesis 45:1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren.
He actually showed them his circumcision.
I believe that's true. And Jacob was dying, and he wanted a promise from Joseph. He had his son swear by the covenant, represented by the circumcision. Genesis 47:29. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in your sight, put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray you, in Egypt. The entering into the covenant took place on the eighth day of a man's life. The meaning of the word eight in Hebrew carries an idea of plumpness, a surplus over the perfect seven. Some of the definitions are fat, lusty, plenteous. Its root speaks of richness and oil, shining. It is a prosperous number. Being a covenant child of God is a prosperous thing to be. Hallelujah. Imagine yourself being a partaker of the blessings of Abraham. You are. Hallelujah. Romans 2:29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
Thank you, Lord. Through our born-again experience, we are now a part of this covenant and its promises revealed in the number eight. Pardon me. So let's go back now and look at how that covenant came about. You're going to love this. And what it represents. We already mentioned in the study of the number five that God instructed Abram to take a heifer, a she-goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Five things. We know five is a number of grace. We found it meaningful to look at what Abram was told to lay on the altar of sacrifice in Genesis 15:8-9. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So what did those animals represent spiritually? When we looked up the meanings of these words in Hebrew, took them back to the root words, this is what we discovered.
First, we have the heifer. The word means revolve and circular, and comes from the root meaning frisking. It would appear that the Lord is referring to our pursuit of earthly pleasures that keeps us going around in circles aimlessly. Put that on the altar, the Lord said. Next is the she-goat. This meaning is strong, parentheses, strong, and comes from another word meaning be stout or strengthen. And the root is strengthen, self.
Strengthen self.
Harden, impudence, prevail. Thus, the she-goat represents our stubbornness to do it our way and to prevail in our thinking. I've made up my mind, and nobody's going to change it. And so the Lord says, take your inflexible attitudes and willful disobedience and put them on the altar.
Amen.
The other alternative is to live with the consequences. I mean, it's a clear choice. The third animal is a ram, again, denoting strength. But this time it is physical strength, not mental. The word ram means strength, chief, a strong support, a pilaster, mighty, mighty man, oak tree. And the root of it is twist, like a body being rolled together, body and powerful. Take your own strength and put it on the altar.
Amen. The turtle dove represents all the stuff in our lives that we think we cannot let go of. Those things that cost us something and we love them. This word, it means a ring dove, and that is a term of endearment, a succession, a string, order, as in things in a row. The root of it is meander about, as in guide, especially for the purpose of trading merchandise. So this implies we are guided into purchasing or otherwise obtaining stuff in a meandering way. Merchandising and things that probably don't have purpose in advancing the kingdom of God. But we love these things. They're dear to us. God says he wants to be the one who's captured your heart. Those other things that are tugging your heartstrings away from him, put them on the altar. And finally, God says, put the young pigeon on the altar of sacrifice. This represents our nakedness and shame. The word means nestling. It's a bird nude of feathers. There's no covering. The root of it gives us a picture of being attacked and abused. The root word means pluck off, flay, strip, and rob. We're to take off the label of victim and put it on the altar. God says, put your lack of covering on the altar. All the bad things that have happened to you in the past, kill them. Lay them down before me, saith the Lord.
Wow. Folks, he wants to burn up all that stuff. Our way of pursuing pleasures outside of him. Our dependence on what we know, on our intelligence, and stubbornly holding on to mindsets that are not good for us. Our belief that we can accomplish something in our own strength. All the stuff in our lives that we hold more dear than our relationship with God, with him. And the shame and poverty and victimization mentality that would keep us tied to our past. Hallelujah. This was the covenant God made. This was the covenant God made for Abram. But you're already thinking, what does that have to do with eight? Well, if you read on in Genesis chapter 15, this is what you find in verse 10. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. If you take three animals and cut them in two, you have six pieces. Add two animals that are whole, still whole, and there are eight pieces.
Wow. Genesis 15:17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. We looked up the phrase passed between, and it means cross over, in and out of. I want you to picture this in your mind, the smoking furnace and the burning lamp, which represent God the Father and the Word, His Son, Jesus Christ. They crossed over, they passed each other. So I'd like to try to draw you a picture here because I actually did this. In your mind, or even on a piece of paper, draw what, well, we drew what we imagined the pieces looked like according to the biblical explanation. Abram divided the animals. He put two pieces next to each other. Then he put the birds next to each other. Now you have four sets of animal parts, each set touching, but the sets set apart with room to walk between the animals, not the parts of the animals. So God's on one end of this row, and Jesus is on the other, diagonal to each other. They pass through from side to side, crossing paths, and the figure of the path they formed is 2 8. To the witness of 8, the new beginning in the Lord, the covenant of grace. It's amazing. 8 pieces of 5 animals representing every part of our lives where God wants rulership. God is amazing.
So let's go back up to verse 8 for a minute. God had told Abram something that was beyond natural ability. He had given a promise to Abram that Abram could not comprehend. It was too high for him to imagine, so he could not attain it. Abram said, how do I know I'm going to inherit this, God? I don't get it. And that's when the Lord gave Abram the conditions. You know, God's love for us is unconditional, but his promises are not.
Amen.
God said, take these things and sacrifice them, and you will have assurance of your inheritance. There are other references, many other references to 8 as new beginning, and although we haven't looked them all up, I feel certain we could find covenant promise woven into all those references in some way. Look at Noah. The 8th time Noah's name is mentioned, the verse states, and Noah walked with God.
Wow.
That's covenantal relationship or agreement. In the flood, 8 persons were saved. Again, we see God's covenant and the renewing of the earth, starting over, revealed in the number 8. We read in Leviticus where the priests were consecrated for 7 days before they could enter God's presence. Leviticus 9:1-2. And it came to pass on the 8th day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said unto Aaron, take you a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. Here we see Aaron entering his priestly work on the eighth day, his covenant to serve the Lord. David was the eighth son of Jesse and the one chosen for the covenant of righteousness, the head of the righteous line that would produce Messiah, Jesus Christ. And you'll find that reference in 1 Samuel 16, verses 10 through 13. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all your children?" And he said, "Well, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
Wow. You know, I never realized that. I never really thought about it, but that David was the eighth son.
Right.
You know, you read that he passed seven sons, and you automatically just think, oh, so he had seven sons, you know?
Right.
But it's not. It's eight.
Amen. The scepter of righteousness passed to David, and through him the covenant promise of God came down to Jesus. And through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can enter and partake of this covenant. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord forever for our covenant. Thank you for our covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. The scepter of righteousness passed to David. And through him, the covenant promise of God came down to Jesus, and through the resurrection of the Lord, we enter and partake in this covenant. Hallelujah. And I just want to remind everybody, because we got a few minutes here before we pray, I just want to remind everybody that in the righteous line of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were not what we would consider perfect people. There were many in that line. Even David himself, that you would not consider righteous. There were even those in the line that weren't of the nation of Israel. Think of Ruth the Moabitess.
Rahab,
the harlot. I think she was she wasn't a Jew. She was a Jericho person, right?
Philistine,
yeah. She was whatever she was, but praise God. You know, God can use anybody. He takes that which is imperfect, you and me, and creates something perfect out of it. We do not serve the God of the possible, folks. We serve the God of the impossible. So if you want to seal this word, I'm telling you, then pray this with me. Pray it out loud. Father, thank you.
Father, thank you.
Thank you for what you're teaching me about your numbers.
Thank you for what you're teaching me about your numbers.
Thank you for the challenges you give me.
Thank you for the challenges you give me.
Through revelation by your Holy Spirit.
Through revelation by your Holy Spirit.
Of these truths.
Of these truths.
Help me, Lord God, to seven myself.
Help me, Lord God, to seven myself.
In an oath of allegiance to you.
In an oath of allegiance to you.
And to you alone.
and to you alone.
Bring me into the spiritual perfection that you ordained.
Bring me into the spiritual perfection that you ordained.
As I submit to your molding.
As I submit to your molding.
And your shaping right now.
And your shaping right now.
I set myself apart.
Set myself apart.
To be purged of anything unclean.
To be purged of anything unclean.
That would keep me from your presence.
That would keep me from your presence.
I pledge to uphold the authority of Christ.
I pledge to uphold the authority of Christ.
In my life, Father.
In my life, Father.
And to overcome through Christ.
And to overcome through Christ.
The thoughts of the enemy.
The thoughts of the enemy.
That would make me stiff-necked.
That would make me stiff-necked.
And stubborn.
And stubborn.
I pledge to renounce any unclean spirit.
I pledge to renounce any unclean spirit.
That would darken my countenance.
It would darken my countenance.
So that your light could not shine from my face.
So that your light could not shine from my face.
No, it's we are renouncing the spirit that would darken the countenance that would keep the light from shining.
Let's renounce any unclean spirit that would darken my countenance.
So that your light can't shine.
So that your light cannot shine.
And to cast down anything.
And to cast down anything.
That would hinder me.
That would hinder me.
That would make me lame.
Would make me lame.
Or unable to move forward.
Or unable to move forward.
To advance your kingdom.
To advance your kingdom.
Circumcise my heart, Lord.
Circumcise my heart, Lord.
So that I'm able to sacrifice.
So that I'm able to sacrifice.
Those things in my life.
Those things in my life.
That are displeasing to you.
Are displeasing to you.
Make me willing to be willing.
Make me willing to be willing.
To stop vain pursuits of earthly pleasures.
To stop vain pursuits of earthly pleasures.
And to follow your ways.
And to follow your ways.
Help me give up my mindset.
Help me give up my mindset.
And put on the mind of Christ.
Put on the mind of Christ.
Help me stop hanging on to my rights.
Help me stop hanging on to my rights.
That makes me inflexible, Lord.
That makes me inflexible, Lord.
Help me lay down my strengths.
Lay down my strength.
And what I think I can do.
What I think I can do.
And help me depend on the power of your spirit.
Help me depend on the power of your spirit.
That can do all things.
Can do all things.
Give me the ability.
Give me the ability.
To give over to you, Lord.
To give over to you, Lord.
Everything that is dear to me.
Everything that's dear to me.
That I put ahead of you.
I put ahead of you.
Those things I idolize.
Those things I idolize.
That I trust in.
That I trust in.
That I cling to.
That I cling to.
Help me, O Lord.
Help me, O Lord.
To let go of the past.
Let go of the past.
To separate myself.
Separate myself.
From victim mentality and poverty thinking.
From victim mentality and poverty thinking.
And to realize deep in my heart.
And to realize deep in my heart.
I am free from shame and guilt.
And I am free from shame and guilt.
Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Father, I repent to you tonight.
Father, I repent to you tonight.
For having a hard heart.
For having a hard heart.
A stubborn attitude.
A stubborn attitude.
Victim thinking.
Victim thinking.
And a poverty mentality.
And a poverty mentality.
I repent for putting stuff ahead of you in my life.
I repent for putting stuff ahead of you in my life.
And for holding on to my own way.
And for holding on to my own way.
And forsaking yours.
And forsaking yours.
I repent, Lord.
I repent, Lord.
For doing things in my own strength.
For doing things in my own strength.
And I now recognize.
I now recognize.
Everything I've done without you.
Everything I've done without you.
Is a dead work.
Is a dead work.
Everything I've done that was not motivated out of love.
Everything I've done that was not motivated out of love
is a dead work.
Is a dead work.
I judge myself now, Lord.
Judge myself now, Lord.
And ask that you burn off the dross of dead works.
And I ask that you burn off the dross of dead works
from my life.
From my life.
I forgive those who harmed me, Lord.
I forgive those who harmed me, Lord.
Those who abused and attacked me.
Those who abused and attacked me.
With their words.
With their words.
Their lack of love toward me.
Their lack of love toward me.
I forgive them for the beatings I took.
I forgive them for the beatings I took.
The times I was abandoned and rejected.
The times I was abandoned and rejected.
And made to feel ashamed.
Made to feel ashamed.
I release them through the power of your Holy Spirit in me.
I release them through the power of the Holy Spirit in me.
And I ask your forgiveness, Father.
I ask your forgiveness, Father.
For holding them in unforgiveness.
For holding them in unforgiveness.
And for receiving a spirit of self-pity.
And for receiving a spirit of self-pity.
That made me live my life as a victim.
That made me live my life as a victim.
Take the curses from me, Lord.
Take the curses from me, Lord.
I give them to you right now.
I give them to you right
as now. As I lay all these things on the altar.
As I lay all these things on the altar.
You alone are the judge.
You alone are the judge.
You alone are my curse bearer, Jesus.
You alone are my curse bearer, Jesus.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
I declare your goodness and your mercy.
I declare your goodness and your mercy
endures forever, Lord.
Forever, Lord.
And I receive your healing in my heart.
I receive your healing in my heart.
My mind.
My mind.
And my emotions.
And my emotions.
What you did was enough, Jesus.
What you did was enough, Jesus.
I don't have to punish myself anymore.
I don't have to punish myself anymore.
I humble myself under your hand.
I humble myself under your hand.
And I declare.
I declare.
I choose as an act of my will.
I choose as an act of my will.
To let it be healed.
Let it be healed.
According to your word and your truth.
According to your word and your truth.
In the precious name of Jesus Christ.
In the precious name of Jesus Christ.
I make this supplication in thanksgiving.
I make this supplication in thanksgiving.
To you and you alone.
To you and you alone.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I just speak now to any unclean spirit that would hold unforgiveness, hard-heartedness, stubborn attitudes, victim thinking, poverty mentality, self-righteousness, out of which dead works come. I speak to all those unclean things. These people have broken agreement. And I cast you out. You come up and out from every cell in their body, every thought in their mind, every emotion in their heart. I cancel cell memories of unmet needs and hurts, emotional wounds of the past. This is a new day. This is the day where you understand your covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father, and are led by His Holy Spirit. Walk in wholeness and health, in freedom and life, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. If anybody would I'd like to make a comment or ask a question, you can push your star 6 keys. I am kind of undone, but I'll do my best. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for being our covenant-keeping God, bringing us into spiritual perfection by your Holy Spirit. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. All my days you have been faithful. All my days you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the mercy of God.
Thank you, God. Thank you for Vicki and Phil. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Awesome, awesome prayer tonight, you guys. Thank you.
God bless you, Mitch.
My goodness. Boy, boy. Feel free and clean tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Father God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Stay in your lane.
Anybody else want to say anything? Star 6.
Vicki, I really enjoyed it tonight. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Judy. God bless you.
Thank you, hon.
Thank you, guys. It was a wonderful teaching.
Bless you, bless you. I will sing of the goodness of God. All righty then. Well, I am going to ask Phil if he would please bless us and send us off into a wonderful week.
Hallelujah.
Feel this word. Wow, what a word.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Seal it in our hearts, Lord. Seal the understanding that it can bear fruit in our lives, in our daily walk, Lord, as we press into you, to your ways, the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you seal these things in our minds, in our hearts, that they become real in our lives, that your presence becomes real in our lives, and that we can do what you asked us to do, Lord. Heal the sick, raise the dead, pray for the sick, cast out devils,
cleanse the lepers,
do all the things that you would have us do in these last days, Lord. Thank you for empowering us with your word and your truth. Hallelujah. And as Aaron the high priest bless the children of God. In Numbers, the 6th chapter, we're going to close with the Aaronic benediction. In Hebrew and English, God bless you as you receive, as God does bless you with his love, his mercy, his grace, as you are the children, his children. Press in, folks. Yivarachach Adonai. Ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha Yifunecha Yisa Adonai Panavelecha, v'yasemlecha, shalom. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We give you glory. We give you honor this evening with all our hearts, our minds, our strength. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives daily. As we press into you, Lord, that you become more real and more present and more active in all that we say and do. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. We worship you. We bow our knee. We give you glory, honor this evening in the mighty, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen and amen. And we will be here in the morning, 7:15 for the King's Table. Again, Friday night, if you want to hear this wonderful word again, come back, 8:30. Anybody who wants a link for tonight, text me tomorrow. As soon as I get it, I will send that to you. Good night, everyone. We love you.
We love you.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Love y'all. Good night. Good night.
Thank you, Mitch.
Woo-hoo. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Beaconfield. Thank you.
Hallelujah.